So seek clarity. And what I mean by that is not just about what you're, where you're going, but seek clarity on who you are, your why. So my why was I wanted to be more accessible to my son, Omni.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Shilpa Lewis is the owner, founder, Omni Mindfulness, and a user experience consultant. Shilpa is a mindset and meditation coach, show host of the podcast Omni Mindfulness, meditation expert, producer of guided meditations on Insight Timer, and creator of her signature courses, Awareness First, Happy Mind, and Second Act. Shilpa understands the struggles of the modern professional woman. Having spent years in the technology space, she witnessed the challenges of working in corporate cultures. She also experienced the challenges of being raised in the 70s in the United States in an immigrant family with traditional Indian culture. She has firsthand experienced the personal and professional pressures placed on women, leaving them feeling that they lack time and energy for self-improvement. Shilpa serves professional women and mompreneurs who struggle with the stress of work-life balance, overwhelm, anxious, lack alignment with their true selves or purpose, and feel stuck, either personally or professionally. Her transformational coaching approach is practical and holistically integrated to align mind, body, and heart. She offers coaching sessions, courses, group guided meditations, and workshops to help women more mindfully relax, reset, and revitalize their personal and professional life. So sit back, relax, and get ready to dive deep into the fascinating realm of UX with our incredible guest, Shilpa Lewis.
Shilpa Lewis. Shilpa, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
It was such an honor to connect with you over your podcast. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. So we met through SPI Pro. You run a Panda Mastermind, and really awesome conversations that we've been having. So let's take a little walk through memory lane. I know a lot of people listening to the podcast haven't heard of you before. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started and joined the SPI Pro community?
Sure. I've been in the UX field for many years. Pretty much that's all I knew before even the term UX was used. So that's for those who don't know, user experience. However, in the last 3 years, I started training for and became a mindset and meditation coach. Mm. I went from one path to the other, but I actually think what I do is something you had just expressed moments ago, which is layering your knowledge. So nothing is lost. I still practice UX, just probably practicing it for my business now.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. So when you started in user experience, what made you pick UX over all the hundreds of other opportunities there were?
I feel like I was in a very unique position when I started in the field, that I had just finished my bachelor's in information and computer science. Mm-hmm. In the days before, there was really a definition around user experience. It was mostly referred to as cognitive psychology or human factors. I had the privilege, I believe, to be among the professors who have gone on to become the well-known academic professors around the field. Mm-hmm. And they happen to be at my university. So they influenced my thinking. So as you probably know, there's things called ethnographic research mm-hmm. and user experience research. That stuff was still coming into fruition, the tools and technologies around it. So I basically custom designed my own future because I knew, well, I like software engineering and I like a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and just practiced it before people mm-hmm. even had a label for it.
Now, UX has been a very strong field for myself as well. We spoke about this before, but I've been in the UX field as well for a very long time. And it wasn't called UX. You know, we just did web design and UI design. In fact, the first course that I took back at Cooper U was talking about interaction design. You know, how are you creating an interaction between one screen to the other screen? And it's funny that as website designers and graphic designers, this is exactly what we have been doing. This is just that we didn't have a specific label. And then thanks to Alan Cooper, right? He came up with the UX terminology and introduced it to the whole world. And even now, I think there's less than 1 million UX designers all over the world.
Yeah. And I'm very familiar with Alan Cooper. It's funny, when he came up with his book mm-hmm. around user experience and defining the different, I would say, terminologies around yeah. things that you and I practiced already, I had already been in the field for so long. Mm-hmm. So I would attend his courses and his workshops and I'd be like, okay, dude, I know this. I've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
But my background was also very interesting in that early on, I wanted to get my PhD in the field. Mm-hmm. And again, there was no framework around the field, the way Cooper helped us create a framework. So I would go where the opportunities resided. I called myself an apprentice in those days, mm-hmm. wherever I can learn from someone. So I just hop in the car and literally go and become saturated with knowledge.
Yeah. No, UX has been really amazing to me, and being in a niche field, like if you think about niche and, you know, entrepreneurs in this entrepreneurship world and in this space that we're in, where people are creating podcasts and people are creating courses, Pat Flynn specifically talks a lot about niching down. And we didn't know this terminology and we didn't know what it actually meant. But what the funny thing is, we've already been in a small niche, you know, carving our own future around it.
I think of us as the personas for whom we design. And when we talk about niching down, really, we were trained to think like that as US people, you know, who's your persona?
That's right. And they have new terminology for these personas, calling them avatars and customer intent buyers or something. Like there's so many different terminology coming from the marketing realm. And then if you look at marketing and if you look at UX, there's a lot, you know, it all revolves around the user. It all revolves around the human, the customer journey. People talk about, oh, how are they going to go through the funnel? That's 100% all UX language.
It is. And the understanding from that perspective has also helped, I believe, both of us have an entrepreneurial mindset because you are already designing for the end persona, so to speak.
No, 100%. And sometimes we just get lost in our own discoveries in the weeds and trying to figure out, okay, how do we step back and look at it from a different perspective? And I think that's where having a coach helps so much because they can read the label from the outside, the bottle that we're trapped inside.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had a conversation about that often when you get so close to the problem, it's like the elephant in the room. You may just see the trunk, but maybe there's a tail. Maybe there's other parts to the problem.
Yeah. No, 100%. So Shilpa, tell me, what kept you motivated and inspired as you went from one phase to the next phase of your life in your career?
Again, I feel like it's somewhat opportunistic or serendipity has played a big role in my life. Mm-hmm. When I was still a novice in the field of UX before it was called what it is called.
Yeah.
I happened to be interning at Apple. Then that was the year that Steve Jobs had gotten rid of the entire UX before it was called UX mm-hmm. and marketing department. But I arrived with my own funding.
Yeah.
Scholarship. So I was in an empty building where there was once Don Norman and others used to reside. And I was in an empty building doing my research. And I would just meet these people, like they'd be standing next to me in lunch line.
Yeah.
I would just surround them. So yeah. There was no other way to think but to think ahead, the way Steve Jobs would enlighten us or inspire us.
Man, that's a really fun place to be, because I had imagined, you know, being able to work with him or being able to be in close proximity. You know, of course, I watched all of those keynote presentations when introducing the iPhone, the iPad, all the Macs. Like, one day I'm going to meet this guy. But then, of course, October 2010, you know, he left us. But the legacy that he created is still around us. You know, the product that he built, it's not the iPhone, it's not the iPod, it's not the app, the iPad, that's the product that he created. It's the entire company of Apple is the product that he created from his ashes. I mean, as he rose and came back to Apple in the 90s.
You know, and an interesting anecdote about him is that he had a deeply spiritual side that people mm-hmm. didn't know about. You know, he practiced Zen meditation, mm-hmm. and the only book on his iPhone was Autobiography of a Yogi.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Yeah, I remember reading his autobiography, and, you know, he became a fruitarian, and he would not wear shoes or something. Like, there was a lot of different quirks and things that he did, but it was really all to discover himself and really to share with the world that, hey, anything is possible if you really put your mind to it and create that future for yourself.
Even his commercials are so awesome. If you remember those early days of his voice in the background, and mm-hmm. you just have this passion in your heart, like, I can do it. I used some of that inspiration as I started to design my copy for my business.
That's so powerful. You know, even, what was that? So if you've seen the new Spider-Man movie where Far From Home, I think, and Spider-Man gets these glasses and they're called Edith. Even in death, I am the hero. Was something Iron Man wrote, right?
Oh, wow.
Because it's the AI behind everything, and he named it Edith. So in similar fashion, even in death, you know, Steve Jobs is inspiring so many people in this world.
Absolutely. And it just permeates. I mean, again, even people like Alan Cooper mm-hmm. have played such a strong role in, I call it a framework. We needed a framework to yeah. describe what we do. And he helped us create that.
Yeah. That's so cool. All right. So motivations that kept you going, being around people that are thinking forward, right? Being able to intern at Apple. I mean, that's something that you can easily brag about. Hey, I got to work with Apple. I got to work at Apple, right? It's yeah. something that I always dreamed of. And it's really awesome to hear. What?
Yeah. Go ahead.
What was it like to, you know, absorb this information and basically shattering your mindset from where, you know, because in school you have a certain mindset, but then when you enter an internship place like this, it's everything is different.
Yeah. The world was my oyster at that time. I was so young and I had every opportunity. So you have no inhibitions, because at that point, you're only creating your own future.
Yeah.
And then shortly afterwards, I interned and then eventually worked for Hewlett Packard. So I was just around these incredible people yeah. that were innovative.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. And when you're like, there's a saying that, you know, you are as smart as the five people around you, or you're the average intelligence of the five people around you. So surrounding yourself with that much intelligence and inspiration will definitely, you know, rub off.
It does. It does. And those who continually want to learn and grow, they will attract those people around them. Yeah. I genuinely believe that. I never stopped saying, hey, I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, I would go to any conference for years,
yeah,
any kind of workshop I could take. And sometimes I would sit through them going, I kind of already know this, yeah, but it's cool because that means it confirms that I'm on the right track.
Yes, that confirmation is so important, especially when there's so many negative thoughts in our heads. And then attending these conferences, you know, it reinvigorates and re-energizes what we feel about it. So excellent point. Something that I was thinking about escaped my mind right now.
That's cool.
I'm gonna come back to it eventually, but talk to us about one of your defining moments that made you make a decision that completely changed your life.
For me, that pivotal point came just a few years ago when I had been working in corporate in different roles and capacities. And I had this, I would say, this desire that I need to do more. Mm. I didn't know what that more was. And for years, and this is not to sound that I lack gratitude, but yeah, a lot of the opportunities that I had been working on, I felt like I was underutilized. Mm. And sometimes I plateau very quickly in my growing, and I didn't want to remain complacent.
Yeah.
So I had become so frustrated with these lack of opportunities I would see. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm, I've done the UX. It's cool. I like, yeah, it. It's fun. I also like to do the leadership and management part, but mm-hmm, there's more. What is, yeah, that more? Yeah. And so you may not know the story, but at some point that more I thought was, maybe I'll become a caterer because I love, mm-hmm, to cook. Mm-hmm. So I would take cooking classes, and I kept telling my husband, okay, maybe I'm just going to open up my own business. And I did.
Yeah.
It didn't last, but it was called Spicy Shaka.
Okay.
And nice. I would sell chutney sandwiches. Nice. And I would make Indian food for people that are local in this neighborhood and, mm-hmm, sell it to them. But even then I thought there's more. There's got to be something I want to, mm-hmm, do. So I would say a couple of years before COVID, I was exploring. And I got to the point where I was somewhat a little bit depressed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I have all this education. I feel like, where is that opportunity going to come unless, yeah, I create it? Well, a good friend of mine happened to be visiting, and we had a very like deep emotional conversation. And she said, Shilpa, you have a good life. Mm-hmm. Just be brave and go forward. And so she said that in this beautiful place in San Diego, mm-hmm, where there's a meditation garden. In the very next month, I signed up to become a meditation coach. And the training started the day we went into lockdown.
Wow.
And so the timing was impeccable. It was like the universe was telling me, you're on the right track now. Mm-hmm. So from there, I decided, you know what? I had bought the domain name Omni Mindfulness just a few years prior to that. And that story was triggered because my mom suddenly died. Mm. And I just, yeah, it was a huge loss for me. It was all sudden. I was on a 14-hour flight returning from Australia, and mid-flight for work. I was returning from Australia for work, and mid-flight, apparently she passed away suddenly.
Wow.
And so my husband arrived at the airport to tell me she's gone. And a year later, because my son was really small, I decided, you know what? I'm going to become further certified in yoga. I already had one certification. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I'm going to do something with this name. It just popped in my head, Omni Mindfulness. And I go, I don't know what this will be, but yeah, it's going to be something one day. So then during COVID, I became a meditation coach. And since then, I've just been building the foundation for this business.
That's beautiful. Man, you've got some story, man. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, your motivations, your inspiration, and taking us, you know, coming this far and having your mindset to know like where you want to end up, because it's so much easier when you know the destination in mind. You know, that's why when we buy tickets on airline, like, hey, where do you want to go? Like, oh, I want to go over here. Like, okay, here's the path. Or, you know, even in our GPS systems, we might not know what's going to come in our way, but at least we know, hey, we need to get to the airport, or we need to get to this party. There might be traffic, there might be blockage, you know, they kind of give you an estimate of, okay, it's going to take you about an hour to get there, but it might take you a little longer, or you might get there a little early. So it's all about the journey that we take to get there. So thank you so much for sharing yours. Let's take a quick break. And then when you get back, you'll share 3 hacks to take away.
I'm Janet Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Welcome back, guys. We've been speaking with Shilpa Lewis. Amazing conversation about her journey. You know, it's almost like reminiscing with other UX designers. It's been a ton of fun. All right, Shilpa, take it away. 3 hacks for the audience.
So these are the same 3 hacks I shared in a recent article that I was interviewed in, and I call them the 3 tips for mompreneurs, but they can be applied to anybody pretty much. But the first one is I deeply believe that seeking connection is inherently part of how we succeed as humans. And so seek to connect with a coach or mentor or fellow practitioners in the field, like the way you and I did through SPI.
Yeah.
Having that camaraderie, even through a mastermind, is really pivotal. Because you also feel like you're on an island when you're alone as an entrepreneur. Yes. So it helps. So number one is connection, seek connection. The second one is clarity. And one of the most challenging parts, like you were mentioning earlier, that you can go through a path, but if you don't know where you're going, and if you don't have that awareness, then you may not necessarily have the motivation ongoing that, oh, I'm going there. Yeah. And I'll get there. So seek clarity. And what I mean by that is not just about where you're going, but seek clarity on who you are, your why. So my why was I wanted to be more accessible to my son, Omni, because I had lost my mother so in a shocking way. So I thought I want to be more accessible. So seek clarity on who you are. And the third one is have curiosity. That's what makes life so cool. And one of the things I learned about, well, you and I've talked about this as well, as UXers, you're constantly learning about new domains. And then you try to solve the problem and you become a mini expert for the time you're working on whatever it is you're working on. So an example is like when I worked at HP for a while, I was working on their digital photography app and I learned all things about photography in that period because it just became cool, right? Yeah. So just have curiosity.
I love it.
So those are some excellent tips and hacks to for us to dig into making connections. Be curious. What was the second one? I forgot.
Second is clarity on who you are.
Clarity on who you are. Yes. And connections help accentuate that too, because as you communicate with other people, they're like, oh my God, you're really good at this one thing. Something that you might not even be that well aware of.
Yeah.
And then, man, those are some awesome hacks.
Yeah. So connection, clarity, and curiosity.
The triple C. There you go. It's triple C.
Yeah, sadly.
The C cubed hacks. We got connection, curiosity, and
clarity.
I'm so bad at this. I'm so sorry.
That's cool. And that's why I have the three C's.
There you go. Awesome. All right. Shilpa, let's jump into our rapid fire questions. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Sewing, for sure. My mom wanted me to learn how to sew. And I said, I'll get an A+ in advanced science if you can dodge sewing.
No, my mom was is still really good at sewing. And I learned a lot. I actually sewn some things myself over the period, like not actively, but, you know, I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I can have my, you know, pants and other things. So that's pretty fun. Not something that I'm excellent at, but yeah, it's fun to sew. What did you want to be when you were a child?
Oh, wow. There are multifold answers. One of them was that I thought I wanted to be an astronaut, but I think that just like most kids think like that. Mm-hmm. I had a cool telescope. But the other part of it was I actually really knew in my heart that I loved both using both sides of the brain. So mm-hmm. as much as I love science, I had a passion for art. I even almost got a degree in art.
Oh, wow.
So somehow that came into fruition because I feel UX is that.
Is art, yeah. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
Currently, actually I'm drawing a blank on it, but my TV shows, it's all the Star Wars things.
Okay.
And so that's a recent one, like Mandalorian.
Yes.
And Andor. Andor.
Andor was really good.
I love Andor. Yeah, such a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
And then I think I told you this in your form that I filled out. I'm drawing a blank, but it's that Jimmy Stewart movie. Oh, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Okay.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Nice. Love it. All right, next up. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Well, I may not even have a good answer for this one. If I got to play a character in a film?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I want to play anyone. I like who I am. Sometimes life unexpectedly just turns out better than you could have envisioned.
Yeah, so true. Love it. All right. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
My favorite superhero. That's a tough question. If it was from Star Wars, I would say like maybe Princess Leia.
We'll put in Princess Leia as being a superhero. I mean, she does have control of the Force.
Yeah. I'll probably later say, oh, I should have told him this other superhero, but well, that's the one that came in mind.
Works for me. Our last question, if you are a board game, what would it be?
If I was a board game, I would be, there's a version of Monopoly that we have in our house that I love, where it's, I forget the title, but it's like Monopoly, only you're buying real estate in Hawaii.
Oh, there you go. It's a Hawaii version. Yeah,
it's a Hawaii version.
I think they've done a lot of different versions of Monopoly that for different cities and countries and whatnot. So that's really awesome. So we'll put down Monopoly, the Hawaii version.
Yeah.
Awesome, Shilpa. Where can my superpreneurs find you?
You can find me on many of the social media platforms, Instagram and LinkedIn particularly. And you can find more information on omnimindfulness.com. And Facebook as well.
And Facebook as well. Awesome. So we'll be sure to include the links to your socials and your website in the show notes so people can get to it much quickly. Thank you so much, Shilpa, for your time, energy, and your wisdom. Really enjoyed this conversation.
It was such an honor. I loved our conversation. Thank you.
Thanks again so much. We'll see you in the next episode.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.